like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Plants.
Iris.
Are smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water.
Water.
Sun and air.
And
are
sun.
All they need to grow. I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
It's Garden Talk, hour number two. Hello out there in Radio Land. I'm Steve Garner, along with Dave Fazio from the Sonoma Mission Gardens, and our yearly rendezvous with Elise Groves. We haven't seen her since July of 2025. Why? Because it's the big fuchsia sale. Good morning, and thank you for coming in, Elise.
Oh, thanks. Always fun to be here.
Nice to see you again.
Yes, isn't it a pleasure?
I told you she was funny. So have you had a nice fuchsia year this year?
It's been fabulous this year. Last year was kind of meh. I mean, it was good, but this year, wow, spectacular. My hydrangeas this year look spectacular. So, yeah, it's weather related, I'm sure. I mean, we didn't do anything different than we did last year.
You didn't change any of your protocol?
No.
Nothing?
No, same fertilizer, same. You know, we got a better quality of plant this time from a new grower that we've been working with. But all of the ones that all the members have grown, too, look great. So, yeah, no, it's going to be a fun sale next Saturday.
Even when we had that late rain, that early rain in March, April, that didn't bother the fuchsias.
No. And the hot spell? Nope.
Oh, hot spell.
But I mean, everybody knows, all of us in the club know that you need to protect them a little bit. I mean, I've got umbrellas up where I'm growing. I'm not a fool here.
Well, do you have them all in pots or where?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all in 1 gallon pots. We have 4-inch pots for sale. We have 1 gallon pots and hanging baskets.
And on your property, are they all hanging baskets or do you have
I have mostly 1 gallons. I don't have that much room to hang in the shade. So,
Protect them in the heat when they're out in the yard?
Yeah, with an umbrella. And I mean, that's really all they need. You know, they love morning sunshine, but that afternoon, at least at my house, is pretty brutal. So, yeah, no, I just have, beach umbrellas up, and it looks very festive, actually, in the backyard. All I need is a load of sand, and I'm good to go.
I love this. Well, I love that. You sit out with your Mai Tai.
Yes,
Your daiquiri, and enjoy. 707-636-1350. If you have questions for us, we would love to answer those questions at 707-636-1350. Or you can also, of course, send us an email at any time. That's steve@ksro.com. So we're going to be talking about the annual fuchsia sale with you, Elise. Mm-hmm. Fuchsia tips, because people hear, gall mites. No, I don't want anything to do with fuchsias. Well, it's not all hysteria and doom and gloom and the sky is falling, is it? Not at all.
Okay. No, you just have to recognize what you've got and cut it out, man. It's the easiest thing. Pair of clippers. You're gone.
Listen to that. She's so nonchalant about it all. Christine, thank you so much for calling us this morning, and we're going to follow up with your email. Would you describe what you sent to Dave and me about the lab reports that you had?
Hi. Yeah, so I went and I got some compost for my soil. I added it to it, and I noticed some changes going on with my garden, so I had a soil test done. And they mailed it out to a lab, and it came back, and it showed that my phosphorus levels are extremely high. I think also magnesium and calcium. And so that was probably the reason for the changes that I was seeing.
Where'd you get your compost?
I got it at Grab and Grow.
Okay. Oh, that's surprising, because they test their materials, that they would be selling compost that was high in phosphorus and potassium and stuff.
You know, I think, you know, looking back, I had a soil test done in 2018, and when I looked back, I was already high in phosphorus, but not extremely high. So I think that I didn't need that.
I didn't need
to add so much compost.
That's a point. And it looks like high in nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium high. So those are all indicators there. Well, it's difficult to really understand because there's a whole saturation section. I think for the average non-scientist, this may be difficult to interpret, Dave. You looked at soil samples before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a soil analysis report. It's very thorough from A&L Western Labs, which we've talked about for many years on the show, of being a really reputable lab that will give you data. The problem is, when you get all this data, then what do you do? How do you correct it?
Yeah, and it's not going to happen overnight, the correction. And I have a tendency to agree with what Rachel wrote in her email about, you know, planting sunflowers because they're heavy feeders at this time of the year, and then in the fall putting out brassicas, you know, cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts
and kale
and all that sort of stuff. And because they will pull a lot of this material out of there.
That's interesting, that they will pull out some of that excess nutrients.
Yes. And okay. And then what you don't use of the plant, when you remove the plant, put it out in the back 40 somewhere or something, and use it for compost or composting for later on in another area. But don't allow it to the biomass that's left behind to get turned back into the soil.
Then you're just adding all that more excess nutrients. So either if you have city, put in your compost. Your green bin, have it taken away, but don't shovel it under.
Yeah.
Don't turn it under.
Which you don't.
So this is good, because sunflowers, boy, they're kind of bulletproof. They'll pull a lot of that out, won't they?
Yeah. So, and they're probably one of the best things to use at this time of the year because of the heat and stuff.
Can you plant them now?
Yeah, it's a little late, but they would do well.
Okay, so that's one way of naturally pulling out this excess nitrogen, excess phosphorus, excess potassium. And then in winter, late fall, early winter, plant members of the brassica family, which mm-hmm. will pull out a lot of this too. So
yep.
that's a couple tips. Does that make sense, Christine?
Yeah, it does. I don't know if you saw in my email that I had also read about a cereal crop like oats or rye as a cover crop over the winter. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Rachel also suggested that.
Yeah, oats and wheat and rye would all work too.
You could sow that ideally, November, December? Is that too late?
They usually put oats in right around the time the rains start happening.
Mm-hmm. So that's November.
Mm-hmm.
So that also will pull out excess potassium, phosphorus, nitrogen. Mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully in the next year or two, it should pull a lot of that out of there and get it down to where it should be a little bit more normal for you.
And when this pops, the oats and all of that, does she pull that out and dispose of it? She don't want to turn that under either.
Same with
the sunflowers.
You're going to have to, you know, cut it off or whatever and drag it out of there or pull it out.
So it's mm-hmm. going to be probably a couple of years to get that mm-hmm. soil probably back in balance, Dave. Mm-hmm. Do you think a couple of growing seasons?
Yep. Okay. Because it's not going to happen overnight, that's for sure.
Okay. Does that answer that question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
And then you had a first question regarding the spots on your cucumber plants. Any ideas what might be causing this, Dave, in a possible treatment?
In looking at the picture, it looks like anthracnose, which has been around because of weather conditions this spring. And at this point, they're really, other than living with it because the weather is getting hotter and drier, the anthracnose should disappear on the newer growth.
Oh.
If there are leaves that are really badly discolored or with this material, you can cut them off and put them in a bag and throw them away.
Okay.
Will it kill the plant, Dave?
If it's a really bad case, but well, she's here in Santa Rosa, and I'm used to Sonoma, but usually with a hot, dry weather, the anthracnose dissipates or slows down radically.
Well, we get that a lot of morning moisture in the morning, too, which, where you don't probably get in Sonoma.
Yeah, which would increase the probability of it. But if it warms up fairly fast and dries out, so it should be okay. I would just kind of keep an eye on the new growth. And if there are leaves that are getting really crinkly and dried and brown looking, cut them out and get rid of them.
Okay. Sounds good.
Does that help, Christine?
Yes, it does. I already cut the infected leaves off, and the top leaves and new leaves, they look pretty good. Oh. So mm-hmm. The plant looks funny now, but I think maybe the problem, since we've gotten the warmer weather come back, you know, June was so wet and damp, that maybe this is behind me now.
Yep.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you sent us all this thorough information, and both Dave and Rachel chimed in on this as far as remediation. So good luck with changing that soil content, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Thanks for calling. And that was a really good point that that you made, Dave, is that your soil might have already been very high in these nutrients. And that's why when people dump massive amounts of compost, sometimes it's not beneficial. It's actually can be harmful.
You're pushing it over the limit in those particular areas. But it's, I would say it's kind of unusual to get this kind of a problem. This is one of the first times that I've run into this sort of thing.
Okay.
I think in the 50 years or so that I've been in the business, there was one other time that we ran into a phosphorus toxicity, which you hardly ever see, you know. The chemical toxicity of nutrients or plant nutrients is pretty rare to run into.
Well, it looks like she was one of those cases. Well, hopefully you'll be able to solve it over a couple of years of adding proper plants that'll pull out and rebalance that soil.
Yeah, and it's not that you can't use the soil, because there are things that'll do grow there. There are probably regular vegetables and stuff that she would probably want to use that are going to help remove some of that. They probably just won't do as well as if the content or the concentration was a little bit less on some of those items.
Okay. And before we take our break, Dusty chimed in about poke salad, which is something that I mentioned during our discussion, and that is poisonous unless cooked. I made a point to say that.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to eat a raw poke salad. No, that's not good. You got to boil the heck out of it, okay, and just and rinse it.
Have you eaten poke salad?
Yes, I have.
Oh, because you're
from
the
South. But when you say salad, people think, oh, put it in with my romaine and my leaf lettuce.
That's really a thing, poke salad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you're obviously not from the South.
Well, remember, I'm not a vegetable eater either.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm sitting here thinking, oh, God, oh, cauliflower, broccoli, oh, no.
But thank you for reinforcing what we have said on the show, Dusty, and that is poke is the leaves are highly poisonous, but cooked well and then the liquid discarded, it's certainly eaten and has sustained many Southerners. But you don't want to be eating it raw, and you certainly don't want to be touching the berries either. Garden Talk Live, that leaves that line open from Christine. You can reach us now, 707-636-1350, or always shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. If you're wondering about fuchsias, you love the look of them, but wondering, I've been reading about this gall mite and all that. Is it worth the effort, worth the problems? Well, Elisa's here to tell you, yes, it is.
Get ready for Brawl for All. Experience action-packed live boxing and nonstop excitement in Petaluma, July 18th. Get your tickets now at NorthBayKnockout.com. Brawl for All, powered by Outlander Construction.
Our pets aren't just pets, they're family. And at Big Wolf Pets, they're treated that way. Big Wolf Pets has everything to keep tails wagging and whiskers twitching. And the best part? You can shop anytime, anywhere. Visit BigWoofPets.com and get your pet's favorite things delivered right to your door. Big Wolf is a small local business in Lafayette. So when you're in the neighborhood, bring your pet and say hi. Support small business. Visit BigWoofPets.com. Big Wolf Pets, because our pets deserve the best.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stanley Jacobs of the Jacobs Center for Cosmetic Surgery in Healdsburg, and I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Alessandro Cusano.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cusano, craniofacial and aesthetic plastic surgeon with extensive experience in aesthetic and reconstructive surgery of the face, as well as aesthetic surgery of the breast and body.
Dr. Cusano will be taking over here at the Jacobs Center in 2026. He is fellowship trained in three different disciplines, including craniofacial plastic surgery from the world-renowned Johns Hopkins Hospital. We're excited to welcome Dr. Cusano as he brings the latest techniques and procedures to us in Sonoma County.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs. And if you've been thinking about an aesthetic procedure, I invite you to give me a call at the Jacobs Center or reach out online at thejacobscenter.com. I'm looking forward to meeting new patients and sharing in your personal journey to becoming your best self, both inside and out.
For more information about procedures offered by the Jacobs Center, visit thejacobscenter.com. That's thejacobscenter.com.
Selling your home isn't just about square footage, bedrooms, or price. It's about the lifestyle. Whether it's a first home, a family estate, or a luxury retreat, every home has a story.
The morning light in the kitchen, the way the backyard fills up with friends and family, the quiet moments on the front porch, the life that's been lived there. When it's time to sell, that story matters. Buyers aren't just purchasing a home, they're connecting to a lifestyle. We bring your home story to life through tailored marketing, strategic exposure, and by taking the time to understand what makes your home stand out.
When you're ready to sell, we'll make sure your home story is told the right way to attract the right buyers.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team. Schedule a no-obligation consultation at normanhometeam.com. Alice and Stephanie Norman, realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO. DRE licenses 01720334 and 0220-9237.
News, talk, community. KSRO.
In the KSRO Greenhouse, I'm Steve Garner, along with Dave Fazio and Elise Groves. And since we saw you last, Elise, from last year, we see that a giant in the world of fuchsias passed away in April. I'm not familiar with Peter Raven, but all the work that he did with fuchsias. He was a part of the Missouri Botanical Garden, I guess, for ever. He was almost 90 years old. Are you familiar with his work?
Actually, no. I haven't really heard the name before, but yes, there are people that, I mean, they dedicate their lives to this, and, you know, that's in Missouri.
Wow. In Missouri, yeah.
The Show Me State? So.
The Show Me State, exactly right. And I read about his obit in the New York Times in April, and it said he was world-renowned for his fuchsia expertise.
Except Sebastopol.
Sebastopol.
Yes.
And actually, he had a fuchsia called Fuchsia Ravenii.
Oh.
Ravenii.
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, actually, we have a couple of those for sale.
Well, did you know that was named after this world-renowned Peter
Raven? I had no idea.
Raven.
Well, I have no idea where some of these names come from. It's wow.
Well, isn't this an interesting backstory?
Oh, yeah, okay.
So if someone's interested in buying, going, oh, by the way, this was named after world-renowned botanist Peter Raven, who just passed away at almost 90.
Okay, cool.
And developed and hybridized fuchsias and was one of the world experts in fuchsias.
Cool. Right on.
Okay, I thought you'd have all this kind of thing. Oh, yeah, Peter and I were
good
friends.
Oh, heck no. Yes. Yeah. Just had cocktails last week, you know. No.
So you grow in a backyard, or do you have just a regular backyard?
Yeah, just my backyard. Well, I mean, all of the club members, we all take plants home to grow, so everybody's got a little bit different growing environment. And mine just happens to be, you know, I back up to Matanzas Creek, but where I have them would be where they would get late afternoon sun. And so that's why I put up umbrellas and things like that. fuchsias love morning sun. They love morning sun. And see, I've got some that are in the ground. They're not blooming. And it's like, okay, I think you're just under the, you're too far under the trees. So I'm going to be digging those up next spring. And, you know, I don't want to trim back the tree. I'd rather move the fuchsia. Yeah. So, but over the years that I've been growing fuchsias, you know, I've discovered that, A, they're super hardy plants. It's really kind of hard to kill them. Usually people will kill them by overwatering them.
Let's stop on that. Okay. Overwatering. Dave, you've said this for 30-plus years. And people don't like to hear that. Mm-hmm. They want to, wait a second, my plant's not getting enough water. And Dave will say, well, it might be you're overwatering.
You're overwatering it, yeah.
What?
Yeah. They like to be moist, not wet. They don't like their roots sitting in water. But
do you fertilize?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, here's the trick with fuchsias. The first thing is, you know, once you've got new growth coming out in the spring, because in, like, January, we cut everything way back. I mean, I have gotten real brutal with a pair of pruners now. And it's like, I'm going to end up with just sticks here. And then all of a sudden, boom, new growth. And then to really get them to bloom well, you want to start pinching them when you've got about three sets of nodes on those new leaves. If you start pinching them to get them to, you know, Y out, spread out, the more you pinch, the more flowers you're going to get. So it's not one of those plants that you just, yeah, leave it there and it's going to bloom. Hey, it will bloom, but you'll get one bloom instead of getting a beautiful branch, which is with five or six sets of blooms on it,
sure.
You know, which is what makes a fuchsia so beautiful is the, you know, that they're flowering on down the, on
so
down
where,
the
branch. Where do you pinch off? So you
right at the very top.
Right at the top.
Right at the very top.
People go, well, that's going to decrease my bloom.
It actually increases the blooms. And then once we start fertilizing, which is generally, yeah, maybe beginning of April or so, we typically, if we were really dedicated at it, we use like seaweed.
Like kelp?
Fish emulsion and kelp, yes. And weak.
Dilute it.
Yeah, dilute it. So if it says it gets one tablespoon, yeah, it gets a half a tablespoon. So it's more important to have the consistency of a lighter dose of fertilizer than it is to just fertilize once a month and say, okay, I'm good. Okay. Now, another thing you can do, you can use like Job's plant stakes. You can stick those in there. So if you don't water every single, I don't fertilize every week. I don't have time for that. I mean, come on. Yes. I'm not that dedicated. So, I mean, let's get real here. I've got other things going on.
Do you use the Job's plant stakes?
Actually, I did this year for the first time.
And they worked okay?
I guess they have. They've only been, we put them in the pots so that when the pots go home with people from the sale, they've at least got a little bit of oomph left to them. So yeah, no, I just put them in like last month.
Okay.
But up to that point in time, I was feeding about every couple of weeks. I was pretty good about doing that.
And how do you feed? Do you foliar feed?
Water. So you can foliar feed.
But how do you do it?
I do it in a garden can.
What
we in German call a gieskanne.
Is that really a German
word? Well, I was raised with that. Here's the gieskanne, right? And I've got like five of them. And I just, you know, put my fertilizer in each one, stand there, you know, with the hose, fill them all up, and then walk around the yard and fertilize.
Hans, gehen zur Gießkanne.
Yeah, a gieskanne, a gooseneck can. Because when you look at a watering can, yep.
So do you dilute liquid fertilizer or granular?
Yes, I like the liquid.
You do?
I like the liquid. Now, every once in a while, I mean, I'll really splurge and take like the Maxia, which is...
Oh, Maxia. That's good stuff.
That's really good stuff. But that stuff's expensive.
It is expensive.
So, I mean, they're not going to get that every couple of weeks, you know. I treat them once in a while. And that also is.
What do you think, Dave? You've grown a lot of fuchsias in your life.
Well, I don't anymore. I have a couple of them in pots, fairly substantial pots, but I'm not a heavy feeder anymore because I'm not raising a lot of hanging fuchsias or whatever like they used to do. And the concept of the fish emulsion half strength with Epsom salts works really well on them.
Do you use Epsom salts?
Oh, no, but I should.
It'll make a difference.
I've heard that. But the only Epsom salts I have are for my jacuzzi tub, so I'm not sure. Lab
yeah, works. You don't want to use the Epsom salts that you get at the drugstore. But, yeah, and something that happened this year that really surprised me, I've got fuchsia peruvianus and fuchsia arborescens and stuff that have been planted in the ground, and they were, up until this last season, shaded by a clump of timber bamboo. Mm. Well, this spring, the timber bamboo went to seed, and it all died, and we cut it down. And so now they're in full sun. And I thought, I'm going to have trouble with these. All I did was step up the watering a little bit. There's a little bit of burnt leaves, but they look great.
Oh, fantastic. Hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was surprised that they would tolerate that much, especially with the heat we had this past week and stuff.
I don't think it's been quite as hot so far this summer. At least it hasn't, I don't think, in Santa Rosa.
We just had those. That's
which
one
is
spike.
Nice. I mean, the weather has just been spectacular. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm happy. I couldn't survive in Sonoma. That's too hot for me. But it's like, no, thank you.
Do you use the same fertilizer in your hanging baskets as you do as your ones planted in ground?
No, it would take me 3 hours to fertilize that way my whole yard.
Oh.
That's a lot of time.
How many fuchsias do you have?
Well, at the moment, I'm growing about 50, almost 60 plants for the fuchsia sale.
Yeah.
And I personally have probably another 30 or 40.
Well, that's a big commitment.
It is.
To fertilize all this much.
It'll be nice to have them out of my yard. To the sale. Please, people, come buy
them. So do you use any pesticides, things like this? Or besides the gall mite, we'll put that aside, are they susceptible to other plants or fungal problems? What
have
you
experienced? They can get some rust. Uh-huh. They can get some black spot, you know. And, I mean, what we do typically, the gall mite's the nasty one. And gall mite, what does it look like? I mean, it's kind of a deformity. It's pretty obvious.
It's almost like a peach leaf curl on
fuchsias. Yeah. And, you know, the trick with gall mite is it is very contagious. And so if we discover it on plants, we immediately move that plant away from everybody else. We will cut it out and then typically spray it with an organic neem oil type situation or Dr. Defense or something like that to spray it. You know, but hummingbirds, because they love fuchsias, they'll go from plant to plant.
Oh.
It's like, excuse me, you know, could you clean your beak in between? But I don't think so. So, we've had a gall mite problem this year that we haven't had in a long time. Uh-huh. And then other things, you know, like rust and black spot, sure. We'll pull the leaves off and then we'll spray a little bit and, hey, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But, give them a shot of fertilizer.
Yeah, exactly.
But have you had plants that have been infected with gall mites?
This year I've had one plant. Now, one of the, Nancy Fortner, who's one of the, you know, main members and growers of the club, she had a pretty nasty infestation this year, and I think she said she lost, I don't know, 50 plus of her plants out of 175. So, I mean, it was pervasive in her garden. But I haven't seen it in mine in quite some time.
Okay.
But I did when I was originally growing fuchsias, not realizing, frankly, what I had. It's like, what is that weird stuff growing all over the... And I just kind of left it there going, this is an interesting science experiment. Not realizing that I was, you know, not... That I shouldn't have done that. Once I found out what it was, it's like, oh my gosh, get it out of here.
And when you prune it, you want to put it in a bag or something and dispose it in the trash. You don't want to put it in the compost.
Correct. Right? And then immediately, you know, clean your spray alcohol or something on your pruners. And, you know, don't transfer that nasty stuff from plant to plant.
Yeah. It's amazing, too, that there's a number of fuchsias that are resistant to the gall mite.
Correct.
And you don't have to worry about them. You can plant them and grow them and have them bloom.
Right, and we will have a special section of our plants that are gall mite resistant. So, you know, if people come from an area where they're, you know, really experiencing some gall mite, it's like, well, try this variety here. So I couldn't tell you what they are off the top of my head, but I do know that we always have gall mite resistant plants for sale.
It's interesting because I was looking online about the fuchsia information, and they said actually they're now classifying them as highly resistant or immune, which means they never get it. And it's a much smaller category of fuchsias, but these have been shown that they are bulletproof as far as not getting
it. That's a pretty bold claim.
Until it's not.
Until it's not. Yes.
But I thought that, and online it was interesting. But here you could go to the sale where people are actually growing these, not have to rely on something online to buy something that someone says, oh, yeah, that is good, but it's not going to do well here because we're not in Maine or we're not somewhere where it might grow well.
And we have pictures on all of the pots so that if they're not blooming yet, you will know what they are. You know, we'll tell you, is this an upright? Is it a hanging? You know, and that sort of stuff. So, you know, if people come to the sale and they buy something, they at least have a reference point for, well, this is what it should be if it's not quite blooming.
And when they put them, so they could either do them in hanging planters or put them in the ground. Well, all the ones you sell have that option, or they're ones that
you could always
well?
Put a. You can always put. I wouldn't put something that's trailing into the ground necessarily, but.
But there's the specific trailing. Oh, there's specific.
Yes,
these are
that
trailing
are trailers.
Fuchsias.
Yes, they're.
I didn't realize
they are grown to trail. But another kind of a fun trick that you can do with things in hanging baskets is we take like clothespins, and clip them onto the end of the branch to sort of encourage it to trail. Right. Okay, but a lot of them are grown specifically as uprights, and then you've got your ones that are trailing.
Okay, back with Elise Groves after this. Dave Fazio and Steve Gardner in the Chaos Arto Greenhouse this morning. If you have any gardening questions, of course, if you're a fuchsia grower and would like to chat about fuchsias, but this is the hour for you, 707-636-1350 or Steve at ksarto.com for any and all gardening questions or comments.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Zappelli's Auto Body and Collision stands for trust, family, and quality collision repair in Sonoma County.
Hi, I'm Samantha Zappelli. My father started our family legacy in 1958. For almost seven decades, my family has been proudly serving Sonoma County.
And I'm Samantha's daughter, Brooke. As a third generation, I am proud to continue the Zappelli tradition. We keep the repair process simple and the standard high with competitive prices. All repairs are performed by certified technicians, and we work with every insurance company. For us, it's not just about the vehicles. It's about the integrity we put into everything we do.
For 67 years, families have trusted Zappelli's Auto Body to get them safely back on the road. And when your vehicle is ready, not only will it look great, but you'll also get peace of mind because every repair is backed by a lifetime warranty.
Zappelli's Auto Body, 4914 Sonoma Highway, online at ZappelliAutoBody.com. And remember, California law protects your right to choose the shop you trust. Zappelli's Auto Body, generations strong.
Listen to the good stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on KSRO. I'm your host, Virginie Boone, and every week I'll be joined by the president of Sonoma County Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We chat with members of Sonoma County's vibrant wine and agricultural community and share their stories. Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for the good stuff on KSRO.
Learn more at SonomaWineGrape.org.
Get ready for Brawl for All. Experience action-packed live boxing and nonstop excitement in Petaluma, July 18th. Get your tickets now at NorthBayKnockout.com. Brawl for All, powered by Leaf Filter.
Divorce can turn your world upside down. Questions about your children, your home, your finances, everything suddenly feels uncertain. At Sonoma County Legal Line, attorney Alyssa Ehrlich and her experienced team help people just like you navigate the legal side of life's most personal challenges. Whether you're facing divorce, child custody decisions, support issues, or property division, you don't have to figure it out alone. As a certified legal specialist in family law and licensed since 1987, Alyssa Melissa Ehrlich understands both the emotional weight and the legal complexity of family law cases. You'll be guided with compassion, clarity, and a strong commitment to protecting your rights and your future. When everything feels uncertain, the right legal advice makes all the difference. Call 284-9626. That's 284-9626, or visit SonomaCountyLegalLine.com. Sonoma County Legal Line. Answers, support, a path forward.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following some early morning clouds, we can look to a mix of sunshine and clouds to give us daytime highs in the high 70s and low 80s. In the evening, fairly cloudy skies and a 20% chance of light showers should leave us with overnight lows in the mid to low 50s. Looking ahead, temps are expected to remain in the high 70s and low 80s all next week. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Nothing else like it in real time. Hi, everybody. I was just writing this email to ask about my deformed fuchsia, and your guest brought up gall mites. And voila! Now I know what's been ailing my grand old dame, my 4-foot-tall, 40-year-old fuchsia. Thanks, Leanne. Isn't it good to know? So what is she supposed to do? Isn't she supposed to get in there and start hacking away or something?
Yeah, I would. I would take a little bit of time and take your pruners, spray some alcohol on them first off, okay, so that, you know, they're relatively clean. And then where you see the gall mite, just cut it out. Don't throw that in the green bin, though.
Yep.
That goes in the trash because you don't want that to go into compost or anything like that. But you know what? That's what I would do. I would cut it out as far as I could. I would get myself some organic oil, spray the plant. And yeah, you might really trim back your plant this year, but I think you'll find that that will help it tremendously.
And neem is a good safe one.
Yeah, neem is a good one. I'm trying to think of what the other one is. It's a doctor something or other. I don't know. It's organic.
Doctor something.
Yeah, doctor something. Some doctor situation with
you probably sell it at the nursery, Dave.
Dr. Defense or Captain Mork? No, Captain Mork, that's rum.
That's a rum.
That's a rum.
What is it called?
I know what she's talking about. Yeah. I just can't pull the name
all
out
the good,
now.
Yeah, all the good yard centers, garden centers will have it.
Sonoma Mission Gardens would carry it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were telling a funny story during the break about when you first started buying your first dishes, what, 30 plus years ago?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're gorgeous. Let's face it. You know, springtime, here's gorgeous hanging baskets. So I would always buy fuchsias every spring. And then, you know, they would last through the summer and so forth. And then I'd kind of set them off to the side because they weren't really blooming anymore. And then wintertime would come and all the leaves would fall off. It's like, oh, well, you look kind of janky. I guess you're ready for the pile yourself. Not realizing that, wow, all I had to do was cut them all the way back and they would come back. So I can't imagine how much money I have spent over the years, you know, replacing fuchsias that I really didn't need to. I just didn't know that they would come back, even though they looked dead. I mean, you can always break off a branch and if it's still got a little green on it, you'd be amazed at how they regenerate. You know, that's been one of my biggest, who knew?
Yeah. When I was a kid, my grandfather used to grow fuchsias and begonias in hanging baskets and hang them down the side of his garage and stuff. They were gorgeous. And every fall, we take them down because they look like heck.
Yeah.
And stick them behind the garage. And then in the spring, we'd go back and do a little pruning, shot of fertilizer, and then hang them back up on the side of the garage.
Right.
And you'd have color all summer long.
It's amazing. I'm always thrilled at how hardy a plant. They really are as delicate looking as they are, because they look like little ballerinas and they're, you know, really pretty blossoms, but they're extremely hardy plants. And so, yeah, we typically will cut everything back to the rim of the pot. I mean, that's how far back we go. And it's like, well, okay, I hope we didn't totally wipe you out. But I have been amazed at the hard pruning. They love it. They're like rose bushes. They love being hard pruned, even though you think, oh, my God, I'm going to kill it. Nope. Just leave it.
At your sale, I assume you're just selling fuchsias. But do you guys sell like what they used to call fuchsia baskets?
Yeah.
The old-fashioned ones with the corner posts on them? Hangers? They were made out of like a half-inch square
That doesn't sound familiar, no.
Oh, because those were really a big thing in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't been growing them that long.
I haven't seen them in ages. You're not that old.
I am that old, just not paying attention, you know, when I'm five. So...
told you she was funny. I like that little voice you used earlier. Like, that was cute. Okay, we'll take a quick break. If you have gardening questions, Dave Fazio, owner for the last half century, well, that sounds too old, 50 plus years at the Sonoma Mission Gardens in Sonoma at Craig and Arnold, answering gardening questions live now. And Elise Groves is with us to talk about the big annual fuchsia sale. It is next Saturday, July 25th, 9 to 1. Or there's an asterisk here, until sold out. So people come to this sale, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they line up.
They line up.
We have to, like, okay, people, wait till we open the gates.
Yeah, but because you're going to be talking to the people that have grown these, which is just fabulous.
Yeah.
Each year, the club members grow the selection of fuchsia plants for their annual sale. And you have 4-inch and gallon uprights and hanging baskets, most in full bloom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, many in full bloom, yeah.
And come early for best selection, it says. So is there admission charge for this?
No, it's free. And it's at the Sebastopol Arts Center, the veterans building. So, no, it's free.
Oh, free. That's on South High Street in Sebastopol.
South High Street.
But don't wait till 10:30, 11:30.
Well, if you want the best selection. we probably have 140 different varieties this year. There's close to 250 plants. So we kind of went a little nuts this year with planting.
How many people do you have in your society?
Oh, I think we only have maybe 25 members.
Dedicated member.
Yeah, dedicated. It's a wonderful group of people. It's just been fun.
Do you have monthly meetings or anything like
that? Yeah, most of the time.
We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
At SoCo Private Security, we're all about protecting who you are. As the only provider of 24/7 smart patrol services in Sonoma County, we deliver affordable protection that keeps your buildings, tenants, and business safe day and night. Smart patrol costs less than an on-site officer and includes on-call response whenever you need it. Locally owned and trusted in Santa Rosa, we're here to watch over what matters most. Find out more at SoCoPrivateSecurity.com. SoCo Private Security, the new breed in security.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million for stolen funds, fees, and experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now. Save up to 30% off your first year with promo code BECK at LifeLock.com. 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code BECK. LifeLock.com. Terms do apply.
Hi, I'm Rachel, ultrasound technologist for Sonoma Vein. I see patients with leg symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, restless legs, itchiness, or pain. The most common thing patients say is they didn't know their symptoms could be treated and covered by their insurance plan. We pride ourselves on making patient visits convenient and educating them on what the procedures entail. Patients initially have an ultrasound, then consult with the doctor who reviews results and develops a customized treatment plan. Then Sonoma Vein handles the authorization process if their insurance requires it. My favorite thing about working here is developing relationships with our patients and getting to know them on a personal and professional level. I love seeing patients throughout their treatment say how much their legs have improved and how much better their quality of life is. If you have symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, itchiness, pain, or restless legs, Sonoma Vein would love to care for you. Call Sonoma Vein 636-8346 or visit sonomavein.com.
Plumbing problems never wait for a good time, do they?
Never. It's always right before work, before guests arrive, or when you're half asleep.
That's why Sonoma County trusts 707 Plumbers and Electric. Our licensed team handles everything. Fast, clean, and done right the first time.
Got a clog? We do professional drain cleaning, video inspections, even hydrojetting for the really stubborn stuff.
Sewer issues, too. Full inspections, repairs, and replacements. No guesswork, just accurate diagnostics and long-term solutions.
Older home? Low pressure? Constant leaks? Repiping can save you from major damage, and we do it efficiently.
We also handle gas lines, repairs, installations, and leak detection. If you smell that rotten egg smell, call immediately.
Remodeling? New construction? Kitchens? Bathrooms? Fixtures? We've got nearly 20 years of experience.
And water heaters? Traditional, tankless, or high-efficiency heat pump systems? We install, repair, and replace.
Bottom line, if water runs through it, we fix it.
Call 707 Plumbers and Electric today or visit us online to schedule your estimate.
News, talk, community. KSRO.
We're talking fuchsias this hour. We only talk fuchsias at least once a year, it seems like, unless we get a call. And you only have one sale a year. Is that correct?
Yeah, only one sale
okay,
a
so
year.
don't expect to be coming. Think, well, I missed it this year. I'll catch the next one in September, October, November.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No, because usually by late summer, now you're wanting your fuchsias to kind of relax and take it easy so that they can go into the wintertime and be dormant and come back in the spring. So, you know, our sale is always the last Saturday in July. And, and then, hey, I stop fertilizing maybe mid-September and then just let everybody, like, okay,
relax.
There you go. And I can relax. It's like, you demand a lot of work here, people.
Will deer eat fuchsias?
I have no idea. I don't have a deer issue.
Are they fairly resistant, or will they'll go after them?
It's not one of their favorites, but they will eat.
I would imagine if they're hungry enough, sure.
Okay.
So. But deer eat almost anything.
Yeah.
You know, lately, especially in the last couple of years, oleanders, roses. Oleanders and rosemary and lavender and stuff, I've had reports of them chomping on.
I thought oleander is poisonous.
It is, but the young ones don't know this.
Oh, so they're going to get sick.
Selective breeding.
They might get a stomach ache.
Oh.
Yeah, they'll learn.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Listen, Miss Compassion over there. That's true.
They're so cute.
They are adorable.
But thank goodness they don't touch my garden.
Lucky.
I know.
Well, just looking at the flyer you sent me, these are so stunning.
I know, they are.
The colors,
ones.
Especially the dual color ones.
Yeah.
The purple with the white.
Purple and the white.
Yeah, do you have anything like that?
I do. And I think that's Lily and Annette, if I'm not mistaken, because I've got one blooming for the sale, and it's like, And I just happened to look at the tag this morning going, what is this?
Oh, that's the one I'd want.
That is
this
pretty.
Two-tone one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're almost all two-tone.
Oh, you're right. Well, now, you're right. They are.
Yeah, that's what makes them so pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty. Yeah.
But now, isn't this interesting? These are long, slender ones.
Yes.
But these are not.
Right. So, well, you've got singles, you've got semi-doubles, you've got doubles, and I know those ones with the real long, what is that, the Corolla? I can't ever remember which one. What body part that is. You know, there's
that
I actually have called Big Slim. That I think that thing is like 5 inches long and then a little tiny flower down at the bottom. Yeah. It's like, whoa, there's over a thousand different kinds of fuchsias.
And they grow all over the world?
They do. They grow all over the world. And
especially in areas that are a little bit moister and cooler.
Yeah,
they do very, very well.
Right. The British are huge.
But they don't like humidity, though, do they?
Yeah. I would say no on the cooler side versus the humid side.
But if you're going to go down in Costa Rica and Mexico, there you're not going to probably find fuchsias.
There are native fuchsias down in
There's a lot of native fuchsias. And I understand Ireland has just hedgerows of fuchsias.
But Ireland's like England where it's moist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's not necessarily humid, but there is water in the air or whatever, and they love that kind of a condition.
Yeah.
What, in Mexico too, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are different types of
along the coast.
I've got a fuchsia called Fuchsia peruvianus, which is native to Peru and stuff, which is very similar to Mexico in its climate conditions and stuff. But sometimes those things will be from the, what do you call it, the rainforest or whatever, where it's a little cooler and moister and stuff. But, but fuchsias are pretty much worldwide.
They're very adaptable, aren't they?
Very. Well, it's like anything else. I mean, you know, some of them are going to survive here and some of them haven't. I personally have probably tried at least 100 different varieties and so, over the years. And some of them, it's like, okay, you guys are doing really well. You, not so much. So they get rehomed. Bye-bye.
Rehomed. Yeah. Isn't that a pleasant name for it?
Yes.
Okay. It's the American Fuchsia Society Sebastopol Branch Annual Fuchsia Sale next Saturday. Put it on your calendar, 9 to 1, asterisk, or until sold out, because it will sell out. Free admission. Each year, the club members are growing these. They're not from some anonymous source from who knows where for their annual sale. 4-inch gallon uprights, hanging baskets, most in full bloom. About that. It's at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, Sebastopol Vets Memorial Building on High Street in Sebastopol.
Yeah.
Elise, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope to see people. And yeah, we want to share the joy of these beautiful plants. And, you know, we have literature we can give out. We've got members that can answer questions. And we take credit cards and cash with proper ID. And,
I got it.
Yeah.
It's your one-stop fuchsia shopping.
That's right. Absolutely. Come
see you next year.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys.
Dave, see you next week.
Yes. I'll be back.
Bye.
DJ Sash and Glass is a full-service residential window and glass company. DJ's has served Sonoma County since 1960, and they're three generations strong. DJ specializes in custom shower doors. They'll get your window or shower door quote done and back to you within 48 hours. Add a touch of class to your glass. Call DJ's Sash and Glass at 546-7344 for your shower door replacement. Wilgen Court in Santa Rosa, online at DJ's.